Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Claudia Monticelli with another episode of Multiple Voices. My Multiple Voices podcast, true to its name, includes different series. For example, we have the Voices of Love, where we discuss relationships, the voice of empowerment, the voice of laughter and play, the voice of pleasure, and the magical voice of archetypes and how they change the way we live. But we also have the voice of memory that includes everything from history to discussions of past life regression. There's also writing voices, where we interview both seasoned writers and authors who have just started getting their feet wet with writing, and we learn what can work for you as potential writers. Our series called Voice of the Spirit discusses different forms of spirituality and religion. And then Channeling Voices is a series that covers what happens when you channel, but is also extended to mediumship. Take a moment to review this podcast if you've enjoyed listening, and leave a hearty 5 stars. I'd appreciate it. Enjoy your listening. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Claudia Monticelli with another episode of my podcast, Multiple Voices. And today I have the wonderful Sandy Byrne as a guest coming to us from Ireland, from Tipperary. Please say hello to our audience.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for having me.
See that accent? I wasn't joking. I'm hoping I can understand. I usually joke with everyone. I had trouble with the Scottish people and a couple of the English as well. Yeah. But, you know.
Well, I've lived abroad. I actually lived in Germany and I lived in London for a while. So I've learned to slow down.
Yes.
You know, because they do call us Irish, we're like cackling hens.
Well, who is she? Who is she? She's an Irish psychic medium descended from generations of readers and intuitives. And I will include her website, sandybyrne.com, in the description, and that's where you can find her and all of her social media. Where to start? Now, typically we discuss what could be on the table for this interview, and I'd like to start with anything psychic. How can we start by talking about anything psychic? I'll throw a stone your way, okay? So sure. I like you, we do similar things. Now, when you say, let's say, what is a psychic? What does a psychic do? Let's start like that.
Okay, so I always say to people in very simple terms, a psychic is someone who reads the energy of the living, and a medium is someone who reads the energy of the dead. Okay, so a psychic will read you, what's going on in life, what's coming up in the future. And the medium just in inverted commas, just talks to people that have died.
So being a psychic medium is...
You do both.
Straddling these both worlds, right? Okay. So 100%. When did you start? Yeah. When was the first time you realized that there was something going on about your skill?
I've always been able to see spirit. Okay. Always. I don't remember a time where I couldn't see and communicate with spirit. The first time, I suppose, I realized that it was different, that not everybody could see or hear what I was seeing and hearing, was when I was 7 years old, you know. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother, who was also a medium, she passed away. She was only 56 and she passed away very suddenly. Ooh. And it was at her funeral when everybody was, you know, like mourning. I had 5 big strapping grieving. Uncles, you know, who were like brothers to me. And I couldn't understand why they were crying and upset and whatever. Yeah. And somebody said to me, you know, this story about Nanny going to live with Holy God. And I just said, but she's not. She's over there sitting beside Granddad, you know. And the whole room kind of went, you know. And then I realized, okay, these people can't see her. What's going on?
What's going on?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was from that age. And, you know yourself that everybody that comes to Earth, in my opinion anyway, in my experience, mm-hmm. we retain that spiritual connection. We retain that spiritual connection and we keep it until our logic starts to kick in. So about 7 or 8 is generally the time frame, you know, that you have before you start realizing right. it's different.
Yeah, actually it's the mm-hmm. exact same beginning for me at that time frame, during that time frame. It's a yes. moment when, yes, you started reading, you know, you could read and you can write, but you're not yeah. that, let's say, influenced enough by elders that think you're crazy. Yeah. So this is very common. This is interesting.
And I was probably very lucky. And, you know, I understand that because my grandmother, my great-grandmother, my great-great-grandmother, they were all readers.
Yeah.
So when I used to talk about seeing something or hearing yes. something or knowing something or whatever,
yes.
it was just accepted, you know, yeah. whereas nobody used to question me. So I never felt self-conscious about it.
Good.
Now, I'm not saying that other parents, you know, I'm not dissing other parents, but maybe some parents yes. wouldn't have an understanding of what their child is talking about, uh-huh. you know. So I get that I was really, really lucky in that regard.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then you started growing. I mean, you went through schooling and sure. things like that. Can I ask you, if you don't mind sharing this, when did you start working as a psychic medium as well, professionally? When did you work with others?
So full time.
Yeah.
It's full time. It's only maybe like I always did friends and friends of friends, mm-hmm. you know yourself. Mm-hmm. But I full time is completely happened by accident. I never had an intention of doing this, mm-hmm. but it found me, I suppose.
Yeah.
I guess it's about maybe 8 or 9, 10 years, uh-huh. you know, that kind of time frame.
Yeah.
Because like everybody else, I wasn't confident enough to quit my full-time job.
Ah.
So I went 4 days a week and then I went 3 days a week and, you know, I cut down. So I phased it in over a 2-year period. I still had bills to pay, so that needed to happen. Yeah. But I was at a show one night and yeah. It was a medium. I always had an interest in seeing mediums.
Yeah.
And I was watching the lady on stage and I was totally mesmerized. But my energy was pulled to a lady that was sitting just in front of me. And my energy kept getting pulled to her. And I wanted to burst out into tears. So in the interval, I saw this lady and I knew yeah. she was getting ready to leave. So I tapped her on the shoulder and you'll understand this. You know, when you're doing something and your mind is telling you, what are you doing? Stop. But you're doing it anyway.
Yeah.
And I was tapping her on the shoulder and I said, excuse me. I said, but please don't leave. I said, because your son is here. But because you're so upset, he won't leave your side to go and speak to the lady on the stage. So I started telling her about her son and giving her all this information. Right. And she just cried and cried and cried.
And her son was in spirit form.
Spirit.
Uh-huh.
I beg your pardon. Yes, he was. Yeah. He had passed. And so at the end of the show, when the lady had finished her show on stage after the second half, you know when the audience claps?
Yes.
And then they stop and there's like yes. a second of silence.
Yes.
This lady stood up during that second of silence and she shouted out to the whole auditorium and she said, guys, never mind that woman on stage. If you want a reading, you need to see this girl sitting behind me.
Oh, my God.
And hey, oh I'm Irish and I'm ginger, so I go red immediately.
Of course.
So anyway, people started to queue up to take my number. So like within half an hour, I had 3 months worth of readings.
Oh, how fun. That's so much fun.
That's how it happened.
That's
and
great.
And here I am all these years later.
Good, good, good. That's exciting. It's very exciting. So now we have the idea yeah. of psychic, what a psychic does, what a medium does, and they sure. can be inhabited by the same person. There are a few other things that are important to talk about. Well, two right away. One is, well, the afterlife, spirit, and mediumship. This is sort of flowing from what we just talked about.
Sure. So we say afterlife, we say spirit world. Some people call it the rainbow bridge, you know. Mm-hmm. It's whatever you perceive life after death to be. Uh-huh. Okay. Wherever you perceive that your soul goes.
Wait. Now, and wait a minute, Sandy. When you say whatever you perceive, it's interesting. Now, let me just insert one thing, because a lot of people, a lot of my subscribers ask me, is there heaven after? Is there the concept of heaven and hell? Mm-hmm. And you saying whatever you perceive, whatever you, well, we could add the word believe. Can you sort of talk about that, since there are so many cultures listening from all different parts of the world?
Oh, listen, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of maybe your listeners will relate to the fact that I had a very religious upbringing. Mm-hmm. I'm from Tipperary, and the town where I grew up, it's called Thurles. And this is where all the Roman Catholic priests were trained for many, many years.
Yeah.
So I went to a convent school for 13 years. And, you know, as I walked to school in the morning, you could see 800 to 1,000 priests processing across the street from the college to the cathedral. You know, it was, you didn't tell people that you saw dead people, okay? So what I mean by what you perceive is that, you know, what you see in the world is what you'll see when you arrive into the spirit world, okay? Mm-hmm. Because you're not going to go into shock. If you were to just land somewhere that was totally alien to you, you would go into shock. And can that's avoided at all costs.
Can you give me an example of this concept?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. So if, God forbid, and I'm touching wood while I say that because I am a bit superstitious, but if, God forbid, I was involved in a serious car crash, okay, and I lost my life and I went to spirit, well, I'm not going to wake up in, you know, a place sitting on a cloud with wings and a harp or something, okay? Because I wouldn't expect that.
Okay, okay.
If I were to have a car crash, I would expect to wake up in the hospital. So when I arrive in the spirit world, it's very possible that I would actually wake up in a hospital environment.
Okay.
Because that's what I would expect.
Okay, okay.
Does that make sense?
No, that's perfectly clear. That's perfectly clear. Now, I interrupted you.
I wanted to address something you asked. No, I beg your pardon. I wanted to address something that you asked as well about heaven and hell.
Yeah.
Because obviously with a religious background, it was something that I was taught very much growing up. So, but from my spiritual experience, you know, heaven and hell is the extremes, if you like, the way of keeping us in line. Okay. Right. But yes, there is higher energy and lower energy.
Right.
We know that if we're really good people, you know, we don't rob and we don't murder, you know, and we live a good life, we'll progress energy-wise.
Yeah.
If we're not, if I do bad things in life, if I'm Hitler or Ted Bundy or something, then I'll regress and I'll go to a lower energy. Okay. Yeah. And that's the way, if you imagine a building with 7 floors on it, okay, and where we are on the 3rd floor,
right?
Okay, so there's 2 floors below us, which contains people that have regressed and gone to a lower energy. Okay, there's also 4 floors above us, which is where people who have developed their energy go. Okay, so this is what we have been taught in a religious environment,
right,
to call heaven and hell. It's the what's above us and what's below us. And I do want to say, and I hate to overcomplicate it,
right,
but we always, and I say we as anybody that's trying to explain the spiritual world or whatever, we always use the above and below metaphors.
Right, of course.
Because it's easier to understand. Yeah. Yeah. But these energies live in parallel.
Yes.
It's
yes.
just a rate of vibration,
right,
you know,
right.
But it's just easier right. to get the idea across if we talk about it's, above and below.
It's the same concept of time going from left to right. And for some reason, up is connotated positively in our language and below is connotated negatively in our language. And it is culture bound, obviously, and religiously tainted. Yes. So let's say that you talk about a vibrational rate, okay? I use the terms light lightness and dark, all different shades, okay, which is also energy, actually. So let's say there is the afterlife. So moving along with your story, you would imagine to be in a hospital, so you would wake up or you would become, let's say, in inverted commas, conscious again in a what you perceive to be a hospital environment. Now, another question that arrives is, what happens immediately? Is it the powers that be that come and decide whether you reincarnate or whether you go to some higher council or some kind of group that it has the power to heal, I could say, or guide, or do other kind of work that is expected? How does that decision come about? Is it your soul, or is it a combination of things?
So it's your personal decision mostly.
Yeah.
But it would always be made in conjunction with your soul group, your spirit guides. Okay. So when somebody crosses to the spirit world, you know, after you have the reunion with your loved ones, you will have to have what we call a life review. And you will go through all of those things that you did in life, the things that you did that were great, the things that you did that weren't so great, the opportunities you took, you missed, you know, whatever. So you'll go through all of that.
Yeah.
And then, it, you know, you will decide with your group, your soul group, your spirit guides, if there's something that you need to atone for, you know, do you need to to build up more energy before you progress?
Right.
And once you've decided that, then you you decide with them, well, will I go back and have another lifetime, or will I stay here in the spirit world and work in the spirit world and do it? So the majority of us, because none of us are perfect, the majority of us will have something that we need to make up for or atone for. And it would be our decision whether we do it in the spirit world. So, for example, if I were somebody that passed through suicide, okay? So if I needed to learn that lesson, okay, as to why life was important and, you know, that maybe I should have stayed, well, I could choose to come back to for another lifetime, okay? Or I could stay in the spirit world and help other people that have died by suicide to come to terms with what happened to them. So it's a choice. And it's always done with your soul group. Okay. Are you familiar? Would your listeners be familiar with the
soul group of origin? So all of us have a soul group of origin, and they are quite different. They are as different, even more than astrological signs, but they have certain qualities, and they have certain light and darknesses as well. There are the way I have worked and work, there are specializations as well. Their soul group of origin, but also the specialization for each soul. There was something else I wanted to mention here before we, you know, dabble on. The idea of lesson, okay, what you're talking about, if you took your life and you committed suicide, this notion of lesson, it's not that we're going back to school all the time, and I'd like to highlight this for people listening. It's that it's an experience that the soul decides to have again, so they can learn from or not. It is because the soul is embodied to have an emotional life. That is the difference between a spirit and an embodied spirit, let's say. So they are not, you know why I'm saying this is because I would say 95% of all the people I interact with believe that the higher power has so much power over us, and they don't have in their minds that the notion that we are responsible for our fates and what we do and what happens to us, right? Let's go just back a second. You mentioned the afterlife. We have I think that's enough about the afterlife, and it is, we're talking in the abstract as well.
Of course. Can I just go back on, sure. on the whole lesson thing? And sure. I agree with everything yeah. that you said. But just in simple terms, so, mm-hmm. you know, to make it understandable, you know, we call it a lesson because in order to be meaningful,
right.
and in order for us to experience everything, and, you know, the hope would be that we will progress yes. to a point where maybe someday I could be a spirit guide to right. somebody, you know?
Right.
So in order to do that and to advise people and help people, I need to experience both sides of every coin.
Right.
Okay. As a spiritual being. Mm-hmm. So if I was somebody, and maybe I was in a past life, if I was somebody who died by suicide, then I will probably and most likely have another lifetime where I would be somebody that was bereaved by suicide.
Yeah.
Because I need to know as a spirit, I need to know what yes. it was like to die by suicide. Yes. I need to know what it was like to lose somebody by suicide. Right. You know, so you need to experience the flip side of right. each coin. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you don't have a full and rounded,
yeah.
shall we use the word education?
Education.
Okay, or experience.
Right. Spirit education. Yeah. Right, right.
Exactly, yes.
And now, the spirit.
No, you can't help somebody otherwise.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah. The spirit. Now, the spirit, for all intents and purposes, in my mind, is energy. Mm-hmm. And we talk about a vibrational rate. It is a movement of energy. Is there something yes. more we could say about the spirit that will help people understand what is, you know, we are spirits with a body around it. That's who yes, we are. Yeah. Else, without our spirit, we wouldn't be talking, right? Is there something more 100%. We could add to that, to the notion of spirit?
Well, you know, we always say, you know, when say if we've been to the beach for the day, we'll come right. home and we'll say, oh, I just have no energy left.
Yeah.
And we sit down or we fall into the bed because there's nothing left inside of us to run this body. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's almost like we have batteries inside us and that's what is us. It's the energy. We're not the flesh. You know, mm-hmm. we're not the eyes. We're not the ears. We're not the hair. You know, we're the energy inside. This body is a costume. If you imagine life like a play, okay, everybody gets dressed up to play their role. At the end of the play, they'll take off that costume and they'll be themselves again. And that's exactly what the body is like. It's just the energy. Mm-hmm. And it's the energy that's left. And this is the way I used to describe it to my kids when they were little, okay? You know, when you see a bird flying in the sky, mm-hmm. you only see the bird like a speck because you only see its body, okay? Because its wings are flapping, they're moving too quickly for the naked eye to see. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what yes. spirit is.
Good.
It's a vibration. It's an energy. They're there.
Yeah.
You just can't see them because they operate at a different rate to
oh,
you.
Oh, yes.
And of course, they've already taken off their costume.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, you know, spirit are us. We're spirit. They're no different to yeah. us. They've just taken off their costume.
Yeah.
They're there. They hear us. They see us, you know. They're there. They're just yeah. people yeah. like you and I.
There's some, I can remember vividly, very vividly, the experience, the first experience I had with a poltergeist in my midst. I mean, I would see shooting energy flashes as if they were shooting stars left and right. And then I knew that my bed was moving, you know, and that yes. is a disturbing energy. That is we could call it a ghost or a spirit that is unsettling and is unsettled. So not all spirits are alike. They aren't as different as we are. They are different. Let me ask you, let's talk a little bit about mediumship. Can you sure. remember, apart from the woman, the story about the woman in front of you, who you told mm-hmm. her son and all of that, can mm-hmm. you remember the first time you interacted with a spirit from the afterlife, where you actually spoke and relayed their messages to someone, their loved ones, perhaps?
Okay. I would have been very young, so I wouldn't remember all the details mm-hmm. of it, because I used to have a best friend, what a lot of people would, I suppose, call an imaginary friend. It was a little boy, but he was a spirit child, mm-hmm. and he was my friend. But, you know, there was lots of things that my mother would tell me about when I was telling people, you know, so-and-so said this and so-and-so yeah. said that.
Yeah.
So in a not professional capacity, I was probably in my teenage years, you know, the ones that I can remember. Now, it wasn't a very pleasant experience, I have to admit, because, you know, Ireland has only opened up really spiritually over the last maybe 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And unfortunately, my teenage years were just a little bit beyond that. So I would be talking maybe back, you know, the late 80s, the early 90s.
Yeah.
I was in my teen years. And, you know, people weren't necessarily open to yeah. this. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you said something to somebody, they would have something not so nice to say to you.
Right, of
okay.
Yeah,
and I've had drinks.
Still today.
You know, I've had drinks thrown at me and whatnot,
I know. It's
so it wasn't a pleasant experience. And I've learned because of these experiences that I only speak when spoken to, if you like.
Yes.
So
yes,
it's only
course.
When somebody literally asks lets me know you. They're open to it.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
I've
yeah.
learned my lesson the hard way. I too.
Isn't it, you know.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I too would say, yeah. you know, there is some... And they would become yeah. so angry with me. And I thought, what am I?
Oh,
I just
yes.
thought I'd give them some information, you know, forget it. And so
yes.
even being
yes.
psychic and not talking to spirits past,
yeah.
it's the same thing. People don't want to know unless they ask you. It is
yes.
difficult.
And people see it on television
yeah.
and they see mediums and they're going around,
yeah.
you know, and it's for television that they're walking down the street and they're saying, oh, there's somebody with you or,
yeah.
you know, your
yeah.
husband's with you
yeah.
or whatever. People don't do that in real life because
yeah.
not everybody's open to it.
Right, sure.
You know, and I wouldn't push anything in anybody's face. But I do remember, and, you know, when I was a teenager and we didn't have the internet back in those days,
mm-hmm.
pre-internet days, and I said something to a lady about her loved one in spirit,
mm-hmm.
and she shouted at me. She accused me of having read about her in the newspaper.
Oh.
I didn't know who she was, you know.
Hilarious.
I wasn't a teenager who sat at home reading the newspapers, let me tell you, you know.
And stalking
so
people.
So I suppose... Oh, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, no, I hadn't read about her in the newspaper, but there had been some situation about her loved one's passing, which apparently was reported in the newspapers. Whether or not her face was in the newspaper, I don't know to this day because I just walked away. But you get the idea. They weren't
yeah.
all weren't all great experiences, unfortunately. No.
So let's say... all right, let me ask you, this is a personal question. You don't have to tell me
sure.
if you don't like to, because I have my limits when I do mediumship. And is there a time limit to the amount of time you can concentrate on relaying messages from a loved one who has passed to a client, let's say? I have a 45-minute...
Mm-hmm.
You know, it depends on how intense
yeah.
it is, but I can't go over. I mean, my brain starts to fry.
Yeah.
What about you?
I would agree with you. You're talking 45 to 60 minutes, and it's not, people think, oh, well, you know, when she gets to 60 minutes, she's just going to stop the clock. And it's not necessarily that. But the longer you keep someone there, I say to people, imagine how much energy it takes for them to come through from the spirit world.
Right.
You know, you can keep them for a certain amount of time, but it's like a battery. Their energy's dropping
yes.
all of the time.
Yes.
And your energy is dropping as well,
of course.
Okay. So, yeah. So, you know, there is a time limit on the,
yeah.
the amount of
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
And I will always know it's when you start getting things wrong.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly. Exactly.
That's my sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. But there's
you start misinterpreting, you start
tired.
Getting it wrong. The,
just,
the visions aren't as clear.
They're not as clear, and you stop hearing things.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah. people have a range of questions. I mean, questions that will go from, well, you know this, They ask for forgiveness, or they'll ask for guidance, or the what do you think? Am I doing the right thing now? If it's a father figure or mother figure. But there are other more specific questions like, where did you put your will? Or where did you hide the money? Yes. Or what, you know, is it true that you gave, you know? And those are harrowing, and not all spirits are willing to talk about that, you know. and as actually, at one point, the spirit came through and said, you know, we're in a place where we do not concentrate on that anymore. We don't care about that anymore. It's not of any use for us anymore, and it should not be to you either, you know. And so that comes through, that creates a little bit of friction. People want to know who killed this person or who killed the other person. We want justice for that person. And that is the no-no answer, usually. Their role is not to talk about Mr. X who came in with a knife at 11 p.m. at night to slit my throat, you know. It could be harrowing, you know, the communication, being an intermediary. It becomes difficult.
Yeah, I agree. And yes, they do have a different perspective from the spirit world. You know, they don't necessarily have the ties to property and money and everything, you know, and you know, belongings that we have here, you know, when we're in the earthly world. It's not impossible. So when someone has a specific question, we put it to the spirit in the reading. Sure. I'll ask them, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have to ask, because once they say to us, can you ask them this? They hear that.
They hear it.
They don't need to relay the question. Mm-hmm. They can hear it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you might not get the answer immediately. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I say, ask the questions early, put it to them. They normally weave it into the conversation.
Right. But, exactly.
You know, and they'll give us some kind of sign or indication, but it may come afterwards. Okay. So yes, I've had readings where someone has said, where did you leave the deed to whatever? Okay. Yeah. And they might say, okay, well, you know, it actually happened. One guy had it in his workshop, you know, in a box with like lots of nuts and bolts in it. Okay. And he told me exactly, you know, go in the door, turn to the left, and it's on the wall there on the left. Okay. So we found it. But then there was another person who asked, her husband had died, unfortunately, by suicide. There's a high rate of suicide in Ireland. So I would have had a lot of readings over
the
years.
I've heard that before.
And she didn't find a note from him, and she was convinced that there should have been a note. So we asked him, and he talked about several different things, but he told her not about the note specifically, but he told her about something. I believe it was to do with his car, if I recall, because he had like a vintage car, you know, one that people don't drive, and it's in the garage and it's covered over. And he talked about the car and the glove box of the car.
Ah, okay.
So she went home and she sat in the car and looked in the glove box, and there it was.
There it was.
So they can weave it into the conversation. Yeah. But yes, there have been people that have, you know, I can't guarantee, we can't guarantee anything, you know. I tell people, and I'm sure you'll agree with this in you know, from your own experience, being a medium is just being a translator.
Right.
Okay. Spirit are communicating. You know, it would be just like if somebody came into the room and was speaking Italian or German or Greek or whatever.
Right.
And I was translating for you. Spirit are coming through. I can't make them say anything.
Right.
I can only give you what they give
what
to me.
Telling.
So we do our best. And, you know, the other thing that people have to remember is that if their loved ones were stubborn in life, they don't change.
Yes.
You know, so if they kept secrets in life, they generally hold on to them in death.
I'm going to pick up on what you mentioned just before you, when we were talking about the questions. And you mentioned memory. Spirits don't have a memory with practical things. The idea of a spirit's memory in life, when they are alive and they're not aligned or they're misaligned to divinity, the spirit, the soul has a memory. It's sort of the reel that they have of their own life, in inverted commas. And But after they pass and they are in the spirit world, not bound by, not embodied, that notion of memory is just, you know, poof, it is quite different. And it's almost, I don't want to say non-existent, but, and of course, you know, the jury's still out. We'd have to have some people coming back and telling us. But the idea of having a memory with earthly things is very touchy, very difficult, and hard to explain to someone. There are intentions, which they would never have intentions, or desires, you know, and their emotional ties to a family, you know. Anyway, I'd like to go a little. Yes.
Can I just say with
that? Sure.
You don't have to wait until until you die to experience that. I was having this conversation with a friend of mine recently. I'm in my 40s now, and I was feeling very old. And I said, when I think back to things that happened in my teenage years or my 20s, it's like I'm watching a movie.
Right.
I don't have any physical memory.
Right,
of it,
sure.
But
sure.
I flashbacks, and I'm thinking, okay, so you don't have to be dead to have that experience happen. I think as we get older, it happens as well.
There's something you mentioned in your writing to me, trance healing. Now, this I don't think I know what you mean here.
Okay, so some people call it spiritual healing. Mm-hmm. So I specifically call it trance to try and get across how I do it. So I don't do healing. Okay.
In what sense do you not do healing?
It's my body, but it's the spirit energy. Have you ever seen the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore?
Yes. Yes.
You know.
Yes.
The really famous movie from back, right. I think it was 1990 or something.
With, what's
and
her
there's
name?
A scene in that movie.
She's, what's her name?
The Whoopi Goldberg.
The actress.
Demi
Moore.
Demi Moore?
Yeah.
Yes. And there's a scene in that movie where the spirit, who is Patrick Swayze, played the character, and he goes into the body of Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes.
And he uses her body to give her, to dance with her.
Right.
So that's what I do. So I literally, it's a deep meditation. So I will go into a deep meditation, almost into trance.
Yes.
And the spirit come into my body. So it's their energy, but my physical body. If that makes sense. And literally all I do is put my hand either on someone's shoulder or on someone's head, nowhere else. Because all you're trying to do is get the energy into the body.
Okay, now I understand.
It will find where it needs to be.
Okay.
So it's the spirit that does the healing. It's just my hand is like a conduit
to them.
I'm still
not understanding your concept of healing. Healing in coming full circle or not like Reiki healing, but what kind of healing?
Yeah, so it's anything. So we can do physical healing if someone has, you know, maybe an issue with, I don't know, acid reflux or, you know, maybe they've got appendicitis or something.
Yes.
I never call myself a doctor because that's something completely different.
Yeah.
But mostly emotional is what I would have worked with.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, if you have anything going on that you need help with, like, for example, I suffer with PTSD.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So that would be something that I would work with people with. But it's not counseling. I don't talk to them about it. It's literally I go into a trance.
Right.
First of all, I would talk the person into a meditation, just get them to relax. Then I go into a trance and the spirit come and they do the healing.
Okay.
So it is a healing. Mm-hmm. It is a healing, but I can't take credit for it. I have a spirit guide, and you will know this. We work with several spirit guides. I have a spirit guide called Francois.
Mm-hmm.
He was a doctor back in 16th century France. Mm-hmm. And he was very into, you know, alternative medicine back in those days. And he was actually crucified, if you like, for his beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So now he heals from the spirit world.
Yes. And they're so funny, the guides. They're so funny. The first time I met my main guide, the one that I was born with, right? And he wants me to call him Peter. And he was a preacher, a tall, thin, black preacher. And I always then saw him with this habit that he had on. And the initial conversations were so humorous. And I said, well, then you've never, why are you with me? Why aren't you with one of your loved ones? And he would tell me. And he says, well, you know, I never got married. I was a good boy. It made me laugh. It was so funny. And so every spirit, every guide has their own, the way they want to impulse you, the way they want to, you know, show themselves to you. It's interesting. Now, what I'd like to close with is particularly Irish, this Irish mythology, banshees and fairy forts. What can you talk about? Because that is particular to Ireland.
It is, yeah. So there are two different things. So the banshee is, it's a spirit, okay? And there's different versions of it, whether you're in Ireland, in Wales, in Scotland. So we're all Celts. And we have different versions of it. Celts, yeah. So basically, she is a spirit who announces death, okay? So she would follow certain families. So they say people with the O in their name. Now, historically, every Irish person would have had an O in their name because O means son of, and that's the way people were named back in the day. Mm-hmm. But because of our history, when we were colonized by British, we weren't allowed to use O in the name. So not everybody uses O these days. But my family are O'Brien. Uh-huh. So we unfortunately are followed by the banshee, and I've heard her a couple of times. So if you hear her, some people see her, some people just hear her. So she will come a day or two before someone passes, and she will be seen either combing her hair or you will just hear her crying. Mm-hmm. And this is a signal that someone is going to pass within, you know, it could be minutes, it could be at 24 or 48 hours, but she is a sign of death. Okay, so, and that's very Irish, Irish thing. The fairy forts is another, and it's huge. I think there's something like 40,000 of them in Ireland. And it's real superstitious in that nobody, like motorways have been rerouted so as not to disturb a fairy fort.
Yeah.
So basically it's a patch of land generally overgrown with trees and shrubs and whatever. And historically it's seen as the threshold between the fairy world and the real world, if you like. And, you know, if you were to go in there or to disturb them in any way, bad luck is supposed to follow you forever after that. Okay, so like there is one in the field at the back of my house. I live in the countryside, okay? So it's just all green fields, and just behind my house there's ruins of an old castle. So between my house and the castle there's a fairy fort, okay? And despite the fact that it's in the middle of a huge field which has crops, you know, harvested every single year, nobody will touch this fairy fort. Okay, people have, you know, they've lost fortunes after disrupting a fairy fort. They've had people die. They've had terrible illness. Do you remember the movie series Back to the Future?
Yes.
Do you remember where they got into the car and went back, you know, to his father's youth? Well, there was a car in that movie. It was called the DeLorean. Okay, that was the name of the car. Those cars were made in Belfast in Ireland. Okay, and they were really, you know, really popular. So the company decided they would build a whole new manufacturing facility and mass produce the car. In order to build the factory, they demolished a fairy fort.
Oh dear.
And the company went bust after that, and the cars were never worth anything.
Whoa.
You know, and because of the movie, they were selling by thousands and thousands, but because, you know, so the bad luck is said to follow you. A funny story, my great grandmother, my grandfather's mother, married obviously my great grandfather, but she moved from the town to the countryside.
Yeah.
And his family were farmers. And so she was being the dutiful new wife, you know, the way you're always trying to help out. So they were out collecting the hay. And what she would do then was she would take the ass and the cart and she'd go around the edge of the field collecting all the little bits that they missed. And she got caught. If you're in like a fairy fort, after dusk, you can't get out of it.
Oh dear, oh dear.
And she was caught in there all night.
Oh my God.
Every time she went to where she thought the gate was, the fairies would move the gate.
Oh my God.
And she couldn't get out of the field until the morning.
Oh dear.
So yeah, so the real, like, I don't know what you call them, traditions, or yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening that maybe won't buy into it or mm-hmm. whatever. But they are, you know, there's definitely so many examples of these things right. having huge effect on
at
people's
a local
lives
level
over mm-hmm. the years.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh,
yeah.
Dear.
You know, as I say, there's been millions spent rerouting. You know, they'll plan a road and then they'll realize yeah. that there's a fairy fort mm-hmm. and they will actually reroute the roads. They won't build or knock them down.
Oh, dear.
Because of the bad luck.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I would love.
It's
I mean,
hard,
we could
it's
go,
hard to plan anything in Ireland. No.
We could go on and on and on. But
sure.
Let me just stop by repeating your website. It is www.sandiebyrne.com. And there you'll find all of her social media if you'd like to contact her. Thank you so much for taking the time and talking to us.
It was an absolute pleasure, Claudia.
Mine
too. Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye, Sandy.